All right, I'm back again. So I asked two questions to the graduates earlier. You guys remember all those? You heard it five times. And the first one was, what are your plans going forward? And I was planning on sharing this verse, but Julia already did. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And I find that perfect for what we're talking about today. You know, every graduate that came up had a really awesome plan, and it's encouraging to hear. They're really well thought out, really nice plans. And we all have plans, right, in our lives. Every one of us is living either in a plan or we're planning for something to come. We all have plans, and it says here, many are these plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that stands. The plans are good, but the purpose for your life that the Lord has for you is so much greater. And so our goal today is to get founded in what is God's purpose for us, so that if our plans fail, which they can and they will. Robert touched upon that earlier, how he was planning and those plans failed. But he didn't stumble, he didn't fall, because his foundation was, what is God's purpose for me? So making plans is great, but let's get founded in God's purpose for our lives. So the second question I asked was, what's your favorite verse? And so I figured I'd share mine while I'm up here. And a lot of my youth should know this verse by now, Ephesians 2:10. Yeah, I see those nods. You can quote it for me pretty easily because I use it enough. But Ephesians 2:10 is what I tell people is my go-to favorite verse that I use on a daily basis to just remind me of what God's purpose for my life is. And so if you want, you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 2:10. We're going to be there for the service. I'll let you turn there for a second. But this one verse, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I'm going to pray real quick before we move any forward. Lord, we are created in you, in Christ Jesus. You have made us a new creation through your Son. You've brought us to you. You've brought us into relationship with you, and you've given us purpose. You've given us meaning in life, and you've given us more love than we could ever imagine, Lord. And I pray that you open our hearts today to grasp that love deeper, to know you more, and to worship and glorify you, Lord, because of what you've done for us. Lord, lead me as I preach your word today, Lord. It is you working. It is your word. Open my heart as well to what you have for us in your word today. Let us understand your purpose so that we can make all of our plans revolved around what you have for us, Lord. We want to love and serve you with our lives because you deserve it, because you loved us. Thank you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first thing we see in Ephesians 2:10, when I break down this verse, it says, we are his workmanship. And so this word workmanship is a neat word. I looked up the Greek because, you know, in every sermon you should have at least one Greek word, right? Isn't that like a requirement, pastor peoples? Yeah, one Greek word. So I got my one. The Greek word here is, I'm looking at Pastor Mike here, poiema? Yeah, you know how it's pronounced. Poima? Yeah, that one. Poima, fun Greek word, right? I'm sorry, I knew how it was pronounced. I just wanted to see Pastor Mike kind of cringe in the corner a little bit there. But poima is the Greek word for workmanship here. And in other definitions, it could be defined as a masterpiece. And some definitions say it's crafted with skill and a purpose. So it says we are his masterpiece. We are crafted by God with skill. There's intention there. There's detail there with a purpose. And so it says, we are his masterpiece. Who's the we that Paul is talking about here? Well, right after it says, we are his workmanship, we are his masterpiece, it says, created in Christ Jesus. So the we that Paul is referring to here are those who are created in Christ Jesus. That is who Paul is referring to as God's masterpiece. It's those whose lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ, who have been brought from, in Ephesians 2, it covers this, from death to life. And they have been saved by the saving grace of Jesus. In fact, he kind of lines out what it means to be created in Christ Jesus in verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2. If you look there, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." The grace that he's talking about is the grace that God gave when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and then die on the cross for our sins. He paid the full penalty for our sins so that we may have opportunity to have eternal life with him. So it is by grace that we are saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus through faith. Faith is believing in Jesus Christ, believing that Christ died on the cross for our sins, believing we are a sinner in need of a saving, and that he rose again 3 days later, and then receiving this free gift of eternal life that he's given us. So that's what it means to be created in Christ Jesus, because after you believe and receive Jesus as your personal Savior, you are now made into a new creation. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, and God changes you. Like I said, this change that we talk about is called, you know, from death to life. Imagine that. You're bringing a dead man back to life. This is a miracle. This is the greatest act that can ever be done. God is showing off his glory by taking a sinner like me and saying, "You are mine now. You are a child of mine. I'm going to change you, and you can have eternity with me because of the price that he paid on the cross." So to be created in Christ Jesus is to be saved by grace through faith. And these verses in 8 and 9 also cover, it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So God is clear here, we have no part to play in this. We are created in Christ Jesus, and there's nothing we can do. The other day I was preaching at a youth group on Zoom, and we were covering 1 Corinthians 6, and in that passage it talks about all those who won't inherit the kingdom of God. It lists a bunch of different sinners, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. It lists all these different sins, and it's basically saying no one who sins can enter the kingdom of God. No one will inherit it. No one can be saved who is a sinner. And guess what? That's all of us. But then in 1 Corinthians 6, it also says, for you know, the person who will enter the kingdom of God, who will inherit the kingdom of God, is the person who, it says, is washed, sanctified, and justified. Something interesting about this is, when you hear washed, this is, your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ does the work of washing away your sins. He blots it out so that that's not what's seen on your account when you go to the judgment seat. So we are washed by the blood of Jesus. We are sanctified. This is the process of being made holy, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And we are justified. We are declared righteous by God the Father, because when he looks at us, he sees his Son. And so this process of being washed by Jesus, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, justified by the Father, the whole Trinity is at work, and I don't see myself in there at all. I have absolutely no part to play in this. There's no good work I can do to obtain salvation. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are a masterpiece because God does all the work. And so that's what I see here in Ephesians 2:10. That's what Paul is talking about. And then it gets further, you know? So I want to clarify. We're talking about God's purpose for our life. Well, I'd say the primary purpose here is being created in Christ Jesus. The primary purpose is for you to know Jesus. So if you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, if you're watching at home and you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, that is priority number one for God's purpose in your life, is to know Jesus. But then after that, in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works." Now this is awesome because, you know, he made it clear good works do not have a part to play in salvation, but they are a result of. God says, "I have saved your life. I have brought you from death to life. I have given you purpose, and now I'm going to use you, and I'm going to work in you." So God's purpose for our lives after we know Jesus is to do the works that he has for us. It says here that he prepared them beforehand so that we would walk in them. So God's purpose is that we walk in these good works. Well, let me list some of these good works that we find in Scripture that we know we're supposed to do as believers. God wants us to make disciples of all nations. He wants us to be his witnesses to the end of the world. He wants us to preach, teach. He wants us to help those in need. He wants us to feed the homeless, to love unconditionally. There are so many things that God calls us to do. These are all great works, and these are all part of God's purpose for our life. But I kind of want to give a priority over all that God gives us. The first step in, after knowing Jesus, what is my first priority in God's purpose for my life? And so if you want, you can turn to Matthew 22. This is straight up from Jesus. Matthew 22. We'll start in verse 36. There was a lawyer who's asking a question to Jesus, trying to test him. I'll wait till I hear pages turning, so I got to stop real quick. But context here, there's a lawyer who's trying to test Jesus. And in verse 36, the lawyer says to him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus answers in verse 37, and he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Here we get the priority of God's purpose in our life. Love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our mind. God says this is the top priority. And we know that we love because he first loved us. We're told that in 1 John 4:19. We love because of the way he's loved us. So due to the fact that Jesus literally gave his life, suffered, took on the punishment for all our sins, the wrath of God, due to all this, this great love that we could never fathom was shown to us. We, in response, are to love God, I would say, passionately. That's a good word to describe that, right? There's a plug for our vision statement. I don't know if you heard that in a while. But we should passionately love God. That's the first calling that Jesus has for us. Above all these other works, passionately love God. And this is going to show in your life by pursuing God, seeking his kingdom, making him your priority. And then Jesus continues on in this great commandment. He says, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So as a priority list of all of the good works that God has prepared for us, he says, love God, and then next in line is love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. So this was helpful to me because it helped me remember that all these good works I mentioned, you know, doing ministry, preaching, teaching, helping the homeless, I mean, these are all great things. But if the love isn't there, I'm missing the point. If I spent my entire life as a believer in Jesus studying the Bible, spent my entire life going to church, going to Bible studies, you know, talking to other believers, you know, if I did this my entire life, but I never loved others, if I never, you know, went out and did the other works that he had for me by showing love to other people, if I ignored the homeless, and if I ignored those in need the same way that the Pharisees did on the man on the road, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan, if I did that, then my life was wasted. Because I'm going to be with God in eternity. Why not take some people with me? Why not love others the way that he told me to? So I want to just bring to attention my missed opportunities. I think about times that I've done these good works, but I forgot love. Me sitting on the back porch of my apartment. I'm in my home, right? I'm on the back porch of my apartment. Random people walk by. I pull up conversation. And I have opportunity to love them. And I just ignore them. That's a missed opportunity that I've had. What about times that I felt very strongly about my politics or very strongly about my theology? And so I share these opinions with others without love. That's a missed opportunity. And I bring this to your attention. I struggle here, and I've struggled with this, and it's a continuous thing I have to be reminded of, is I need to make my priority love God and love others. Jesus told me that's the priority, and I need to make it my priority on a daily basis because I forget. But if we do any of these good works without love, we're missing God's purpose for our lives. So to kind of wrap up a bit, I'll give you the priority list that we're talking about. The priority order to be founded in what God's purpose for us is to know Jesus, to know God, to accept the free gift that he's given you of eternal life, and in response, love him passionately. In every area of your life, you know, I mentioned all the plans that the graduates had. I love those. Those are great plans. And I have plans. All of us here have some plans. And I look on 1 Corinthians 10:31 when it says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." I have plans, but in everything that I do, I should be aiming to love and glorify the Father. That should be my goal. I could do all these things, but I could do these while loving God. That's my purpose. That is my purpose. And coming off of that, in response to that, if I'm loving God passionately, as we're told in 1 John 4, if I'm doing that, but I'm not loving my brother, then I don't know the love of God. Oof. If I think I'm loving God and I'm not loving my brother, I'm not loving God, is what they tell me. That hits hard. So the response is, if I'm passionately loving God, I'm going to love his creation. I'm going to love his people. I'm going to love the people he's put in front of me, my neighbors. I'm going to love the people in my apartments. I'm going to love the people in my church. I'm going to love the people I come in contact to at Wawa. Yeah, every morning I go to Wawa for coffee, and I come into contact with a lot of people, and I could be showing the love of Christ to all of them. That is God's purpose. And then we have all those other works I mentioned, all these awesome works. Make disciples. Be God's witness. Preach, teach, help those in need. These are great purposes, but the priority, love God, love others. I'm going to end with this verse, and then Pastor Mike's going to come up and send us away. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Thanks, everyone. Mike, if you want to come up, you can send us home.
Sweet morning. So from this point, we got something special going on today. So we're going to have a picnic out at Brecknock Park. If you're not familiar with Brecknock, it's that way, I think. Is that right? I think